Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 7, verses 14 to 24. John chapter 7, verses 14 to 24. And what we're going to be studying today is righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. Now let's read John chapter 7, verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God, or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no righteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? Why go you about to kill me? The people answered and said, Thou hast a devil. Who goeth about to kill thee? Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and ye all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. If a man on the Sabbath day receive circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. There you go. Righteous judgment. Now, the difference between Jesus and the Pharisees is this simply. His judgment and doctrine were right, and their judgment and doctrine were wrong. And in this passage, we'll read through and examine the difference between their judgment and their doctrine. And so that way we can see which was right and why, and which was wrong and why. So let's go back to the text here. And notice that finally in the middle of the feast, Jesus made himself known there, went up into the temple, and he taught. That's verse 14. And the Jews marveled because they didn't understand how it was that he knew so much about the law and about the things that he was teaching. How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? You know, there's a great thing. It's gone on always in life. It was going on in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was here and dealt with people and dealt with the Pharisees. And it's going on today, and that is that men are not qualified to do the things they do in the ministry unless they have a big education from the right universities or a big education from the right seminaries. And this has always been a problem with men. Now, the truth of the matter is, if you have the opportunity to get an education, and the education is a good education, you ought to do that to prepare yourself for whatever it is you have to do. But the idea that then you have that, and you put some name or title in front of your name, or letters and titles after your name, in order to bring to yourself some sort of attention just because you've been to the right university or the right seminary, in fact, can be a real problem. In the case of the Pharisees, who had been well-trained and well-educated, they came up short. And they were wondering how it was that Jesus Christ was qualified to teach the things that he taught and how he learned those things if he hadn't been to the same schools they'd been to. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, at verse 7. Well, the first problem with learning so that you can be accepted by another group of people who have learned from whatever university, is that not all learning, just because it's seminary taught or university taught, is good learning. In the case of 2 Timothy 3:7, when you get to the last days, which is pretty much the time we're in right now, here's the problem. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, these Pharisees were well studied. They were doctors of the law, many of them. And they had done a lot of learning, but they never came to the knowledge of the truth, because if they had, when they saw Jesus Christ, they would have accepted him right there on the spot. The problem then with the Pharisees, first of all, in Proverbs chapter 19, is that they got the wrong kind of instruction. They were well instructed, but they got the wrong kind of instruction. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27 tells you what they should have done. Solomon said in Proverbs 19:27, "Cease, my son, to hear the instruction that causeth to err from the words of knowledge." So they were all wondering how Jesus Christ got all his learning. Well, he got it, and you'll see he got it directly from God. They got it, and they got it directly from men, and the men that taught them were messed up. So somebody asked me one time, it's not the only time that I've been asked the question, but he said, how do people get so messed up in their Bible doctrine? Most of the time, if you want to know, it's bad teaching. It's just bad teaching. There are a number of people today that are, what do they say, good godly men. I mean, really and truly, they sincerely seem to want to serve the Lord. And they're messed up in their doctrine. And the way they got messed up in their doctrine is bad teaching. They got their learning from the wrong sources. Now, if they would do what Jesus Christ did, they could check the thing out. And they could have found out that, in fact, their teaching was bad. And they could have corrected the problem by doing what Jesus did. I was listening to a talk radio show about 5 minutes today while I was plugging in a book on cassette concerning World War I. And in the introductory of this talk show, which is a nationally syndicated talk show, a well-known host, he said, "Don't believe anything that you hear on this broadcast unless you know it to be true, or unless you go to study it out for yourself and find out that, in fact, what you've heard is true." In other words, don't just take my word for it. Now, that's good. That is real good. And in fact, these Pharisees could have gone and they could have checked out what Jesus Christ had said according to what Jesus Christ told them he did, and they could have found out whether or not what he was saying was true. But they wouldn't do it. Now, how did Jesus learn? Well, first of all, Jesus' judgment and doctrine were right because it came from God. His judgment and his doctrine came from God. Look what he said in verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." I didn't make this up, see. I got it directly from God. You say, well, how in the world did he do that? Well, several ways. Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. Jesus, this is spoken of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." He got it directly from God. You say, well, I'd like to get it directly from God. Well, then what you're going to have to do is get a Bible. You say, which one? A King James Bible. And you get on your knees in the morning, and you approach God's throne and you say, like David did, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God, teach me." And you begin to read and study. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And you check it out. And the Pharisees could have checked it out. They could have determined, based upon what Jesus Christ did, by careful study, led of God, whether or not what he said was so. Because that's where he got it. "He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." I love what old John Jasper said. I'm sure I've said it before on the broadcast. But when he was approached by the great men of his day, who were not able to bring up the crowds of people that he did, they wanted to know how he's able to do it. And he said, simply, when I get a text, I go to God and I ask him what the text is about, and I pray over it and meditate over it till he tells me. He said, you guys go back to your seminary notes to find out what men had to say about it, and you come up with what a man had to say. And quite frankly, he said, people don't want to know what men have to say about God's words. They want to know what God has to say. So Jesus said, judgment and doctrine were right because they came from God. Look in John chapter 8, verse 28. John 8:28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. John chapter 12, verse 49, said it again to his disciples. John chapter 12, verse 49, I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say, and what I should speak. Well, that's so obvious. The difference between the false prophets and God's prophets in the Old Testament was, thus saith the Lord. And the guy that said, thus saith the Lord, and it came to pass, he was God's prophet. The guy that said, thus saith the Lord, it didn't come to pass, he wasn't God's prophet. And that's how they could tell. One guy got it directly from God, and the other guy got it from his own mind and his own heart and his own conception. There you have it. So righteous judgment and righteous doctrine comes, first of all, from God Almighty. And these Pharisees could have checked that thing out just the way that God did by humbling themselves before God Almighty and saying, God Almighty, if what this man is teaching us is right and it is contrary to our doctrine, show us. And God would have shown them. But they didn't have a believing heart, they didn't have a humble mind, and so they stayed in the dark. Much like many of the seminary-trained doctors of religion today. Quite frankly, there are more seminary-trained doctors of religion and theology today that are deceived about at least some of the words of God than there are those who are not trained up to that level, who simply go to the book to find out what God had to say. And I'm not against an education. I think a man ought to get all he can, as long as it's right and it comes from God. All right, second thing. Jesus' judgment and doctrine were right because they were according to God's will. Look at verse 17. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, the Pharisees could have humble themselves to do God's will, and they themselves would have found out whether or not what Jesus Christ was teaching was right, whether his judgment and doctrine were right, because they would have matched God's will. Jesus Christ was doing God's will. Obviously, they weren't. Because he said, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. But they didn't do it according to God's will. Jesus did. In John chapter 8, verse 39, the Pharisees answered Jesus, and they said, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Well, they didn't. They didn't follow along in Abraham's faith. Now, look at Jesus Christ, and watch how what he did matched God's will. John chapter 4, verse 34. As a matter of fact, before we even look at John 4, 34, in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus said right up to the very last, right there when he could have saved his own neck, he said, not my will, but thine be done. Now, John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Now, Mr. Religion Man, what are you doing? You doing God's will and his work, or what you want to do? John chapter 6, verse 38. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he was faithful to that all the way to the death, burial, and resurrection. John chapter 6, verse 40. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Done. Of course, he was still waiting on the resurrection of the bodies of those that believed on him, but they have everlasting life, just like he said. So Jesus' judgment and doctrine were right, first of all, because they came from God. And secondly, because they were according to God's will, and the Pharisees could have gone about to do God's will, and they would have known, according to Jesus Christ, whether what he said was of God or whether it was his own, whether he cooked it up of himself. But they didn't do it. And the third thing about Jesus' judgment and doctrine. Jesus' judgment and doctrine were right because not only did they come from God, not only were they according to God's will, but they glorified God. Look at verse 18. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory, but he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. In other words, Jesus Christ never did anything to bring glory to himself. Everything he did was to bring glory to God the Father. Do you think that's like the Pharisees at all? Well, the Pharisees, according to Jesus Christ, loved the uppermost seats. They loved those big religious titles. All their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts, and the chief seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, ho, 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 ho. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not after their works, for they say and do not. They sought their own glory, not Jesus Christ. He always sought the glory of God the Father, including glorifying God by a cruel death on the cross. And therefore, his doctrine and his judgment were righteous, and they were true. Now, John, the apostle, wrote in 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, we know that the Son is God, of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ was true. He even said he was true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, let's check him out. Let's check him out according to the law. 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Testimony of Paul the Apostle in 2 Corinthians, Jesus Christ wasn't a sinner. He knew no sin. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. No sin. 1 Peter 2:22. Now, John and Peter and Paul, by direct revelation, knew Jesus Christ better than anybody. They walked with him day in and day out, 3.5 years, and served him until they died, most of them by martyrdom. 1 Peter 2:22. What did Peter say? Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. You know what the deal is? No unrighteousness in him. He was true. And the Pharisees, if they had sought to glorify God and not themselves, would have known as absolutely for certain that in fact Jesus Christ was right and his doctrine was right, and that in fact what he taught, they should have learned. They weren't about to humble themselves to learn from Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ's judgment and doctrine were right because they came directly from God, and the Pharisees could have done that. He worked according to God's will, and they could have done that. And he glorified God, they could have done that, but that was not their interest. The Pharisees' judgment and doctrine were wrong. And the Pharisees' judgment and doctrine were wrong because of three things. Number one, they broke the law of Moses. The very man that they said they were here to do right by. They broke his law. Look at verse 19. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law? What? They would be saying in their mind, how dare you accuse us of not keeping Moses' law? He knew them. Why? Because he knew the law better than they did. He was the author of it. But look in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 5, the Pharisees and scribes asked Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Esaias prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." That's how this thing concludes. He said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. They appeared to love him. Their heart's far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, not Moses. For laying aside the commandment of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things do ye. And he said unto them, full well ye reject the commandment of God. They rejected the commandment of God. They set aside the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother. Whoso curseth father and mother, let him die the death. But ye say, if a man shall say to his father or mother, it is korban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which ye have delivered. So they made it of none effect. They rejected it. They laid it aside. Lip service, but not with a heart. Man, I'm telling you, God Almighty knew them, and Jesus Christ knew them. He knew them exactly. He said, Moses gave you the law, and yet none of you keepeth the law. They weren't righteous. He said to them, why go you about to kill me? Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. And Deuteronomy 19 gives the prescription for verifying whether or not the man was worthy of death. One witness shall not rise up against a man for any iniquity or for any sin, in any sin that he sinneth. Of course, Jesus Christ never sinned. At the mouth of two witnesses or the mouth of three witnesses shall the matter be established. Well, they brought in witnesses against Jesus Christ, and their witnesses never agreed. They brought in false witnesses. Verse 16 says, if a false witness rise up against any man to testify against him that which is wrong, then both the men between whom the controversy is shall stand before the Lord. And that happened. Jesus Christ on the one hand, the Jews on the other. And you know what? The judges shall make diligent inquisition, and behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done unto his brother, so shall they put away evil from among you. So, the Jews got smacked. They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And, buddy, they got it for centuries. Now God's going to forgive their iniquity one of these days, thank God. But they broke the law of Moses. That's how you know their doctrine was wrong. That's how you know their judgment was wrong. But that's not all. Not only did they break the law of Moses, they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Look what they said. The people answered and said, thou hast a devil who goeth about to kill thee. Thou hast a devil. They blasphemed the Holy Spirit of God. Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3, they accused Jesus Christ of doing the miracles that he did by Beelzebub. And he gave them a parable to explain how obviously Satan wouldn't use himself to do these kind of works. And then he said what they were doing was blaspheming the Holy Spirit. In verse 29, he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, he hath an unclean spirit. That's what they just told him. Thou hast a devil. Mark 3, verse 30, he hath an unclean spirit. That's blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God. And they professed to have a doctrine that was right and a judgment that was right. Why, there's nothing but falsehood to it. Their judgment and their doctrine were wrong because they broke the law of Moses, because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit, and not only that, because they lied. They asked the question, who goeth about to kill thee? Well, we've already seen it. We looked at it diligently in John chapter 5. We looked at it yesterday, but we'll look at it again in John chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. Verse 18 of John chapter 5, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but he said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. He was God. They were liars, they were blasphemers, and they were lawbreakers. So, their judgment was wrong. Their doctrine was wrong. If their judgment had been right, like Jesus's, they would have rejoiced over the healing that they were criticizing him about and not tried to kill him over it. John chapter 7, verse 21. Jesus answered and said unto them, I have done one work, and you all marvel. Moses therefore gave unto you circumcision, not because it is of Moses, but of the fathers. Actually, it was given to Abraham in Genesis chapter 17. And ye on the Sabbath day circumcise a man. He gave him circumcision before he gave the Jews the Sabbath. And therefore on the eighth day, when a child was to be circumcised, if that happened to be the Sabbath day of the week, they went ahead and circumcised the man anyway. Therefore, verse 23, if a man on the Sabbath day receives circumcision, that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. They couldn't. If their judgment had been right, they would have rejoiced. Instead, they got mad. Verse 23, are ye angry at me? And they were hypocrites. Why? Because they were only concerned about the appearance of a thing. They were not concerned about righteousness. And that is the problem of the Pharisees in Jesus' day, and that is the problem of the Pharisees in our day. Let me tell you, there are religions that are built on making their priests and their prophets and their pastors and their doctors and scholars of the Bible look like something big. They puff them. They build all of this thing on religion, appearance, and it's not right. I would say, like the talk show host that I talked to you about earlier would say, don't take it just because you hear it here. Go to the book and find out if it's right. If it's right, then you can judge according to it, because it will come from God like Jesus did in verse 16. It will be according to God's will like Jesus did in verse 17. And it'll glorify God like Jesus did in verse 18. And you won't end up being a hypocrite like the Pharisees were in verse 19, breaking the law of Moses. You won't end up blaspheming God, and you won't end up lying and being a hypocrite about what you are, what you're not. Judge righteous judgment, like Jesus said.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.